Praise the Lord. Please be seated and thank you so much. Very great. Absolutely not. Even to try to even do it should be considered just sinful, to try to express and explain how great our God is. There's no way. Anyway, good morning.
Good morning.
I was about to go preach something else. How great our God is. God bless you. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. On behalf of Pastor J.D. Farag, we pray that you will be blessed here and meeting us here this morning. For those visitors who are first time coming to the church, welcome. Pray that you're blessed by the love you receive here, as well as the time of fellowship out there, and more importantly, the Word of God. Well, I want to make sure we remind everyone about our prayer meeting coming up here January the 9th, that Tuesday at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And if you are able to come out and pray as a corporate body, I would encourage you to do so. We need all the prayer that we can get. There are a lot of things going on, and we do thank you for the prayers that you've been sending up, out and up to the Lord on behalf of all the things that we have going on, especially within the local ministry. You know, Pastor J.D., his family, especially Kelly, dealing with the cancer and various missions, and of course the sickness that's running around a little bit. So just continue to pray, and if you can, join us on January 9th so we can lift up all of these things to the Lord in prayer. Well, let's get this out of the way. Happy New Year. Yeah, it's coming up. New Year's Eve here. Prayerfully, you guys have a wonderful New Year's Eve and you relax and don't. What? I didn't say nothing yet. Just say it. I mean, all things are good, all right? Tempered, right? All things are lawful. Some things are not profitable. We'll find out who's profitable on Monday morning, won't we? Just be easy and be blessed. All right, on Sunday, we have two services, in which this is the second service. And for our second service this morning, I would invite you to join me in the book of Lamentations. It's the book behind Jeremiah. Lamentations, chapter 3. And I will ask all who are able to stand to do so for the reading of the scriptures this morning. We'll be beginning in verse 21, as you see on the screen, going down to verse 26. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. And the word of God reads, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." In verse 26, "It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Why don't we pray and ask the Lord for his blessing upon the teaching this morning. Father in heaven, once again, we approach your throne of grace and ask that you would meet us here by the power of your Holy Spirit, and go before us and open our hearts and our minds to your word, that we may be filled to the brim, all that we can handle, to enhance our walk with you. And Lord, give us that strength and that desire to walk with you like Enoch, so you can just take us away. So do so now with your word, Lord, and bless us in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. Please be seated, and thank you so much. So our second service teaching this morning is titled, Renewed Hope in Jesus. Not just hope, a renewed hope that we all need to have. The truth of the matter is, life as it is hopeless. Do we understand this? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of all of it. Am I the only one? If I am, there's a problem here. Speaking of sick and tired, we have sickness to deal with. We have divisions, not only in the church, but in our homes. A society of lawlessness, corruption in every agency of our government, including all the other governments. Growing expenses. Have you seen that? Inflation? Huh? It's more like an inflation. Because it's doubled. Job issues. Hatred. Continues to grow. Still dealing with COVID. Can you believe that? People are still masked up outside by themselves. What a brainwashing this has done. And of course, we have to deal with the death of our friends and loved ones for various reasons. And I'm supposed to have hope. I mean, I do have hope, but my hope is hurting. I don't know about you, but my hope is hurting. Last week, here I am with hurting hope. And Pastor JD would call, take time out to call me. He's already dealing with unthinkable issues. But as only a brother in Christ could do, would call me and encourage me. Spending hours on the phone with me, ministering to me. And in that conversation, or those conversations, should I say, as we continued to talk and things were being revealed, I realized God was using those circumstances and these circumstances to indeed show me that He is indeed still around. And through it all, He will get us through it all. And in those conversations, my hope was being renewed because it was fractured. Definitely. All of our hope can get fractured. That's why we need to have our hope renewed. So with the Lord's blessing, we are going to utilize the text that we have before us today and expound on these verses in a way that I pray will encourage us all. Even as we lament regarding what we have faced as well as what we are facing, our hope should always be renewed, knowing that the God of our salvation is right at the door. And as we look into this, I want to remind everyone that Pastor JD did a complete study of this book some time ago, if you remember. And in those series of teachings, I tell you what, it was very unexpected to have so much meat in there. So much. And if you have not seen them, I would encourage you to make the time to watch these teachings. They are just amazing. And in chapter 3, where we're at today, it would seem that the prophet Jeremiah is complaining to God, complaining about not having his prayers answered or having a response from the Lord. And when you read in here, you'll see he's just pleading with God. I mean, knees, face to the ground, pleading with God. Asking God questions and just crying out to the Lord. How many hearts that are here right now are postured the same way? Why, Lord? I've been talking to you. Where are you? Do you hear me? Sometimes for me, I know I'm paralyzed when I think about what's going on locally here, even. Just sit paralyzed. Almost in disbelief. Like, how is this going down? How is it? All of the people who are hurting across the world are losing hope. And then, like Jeremiah, though, we have to acknowledge that we have a just God and a most loving God A God that loves us so much. A God that we need to rely on and hope in and trust in. His ways are infinitely above our ways. And in him lies the answers to all things. So we are to remember that fact that all of our hope must be in Jesus. It must be in Jesus. And this mindset is the mindset that I pray that we have as we get into our text this morning. All of our hope must be in Jesus. Verses 21 and 22 of our text. Once again, the Word of God reads, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Do we hear the word of God? I mean, for me, I want to sit here and just bathe in these two verses. And as much as we are able, let's keep this close to home right now. Let's personalize this. Let's take advantage of the word of God. And keep it right here for ourselves, right in this moment. We don't need the history backdrop. Today, let's speak about today. Let us recall in our minds, prayerfully our renewed minds, if we have them, that through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions never fail. Now let's think about that. They never fail. But some would argue and say, well, what I'm going through right now is the most difficult trial and time of my life. It is so bad that, in fact, it seems hopeless to me. So hopeless that I can't even think about anything else. So what do you say to that, Mr. Preacher Man? Well, I'll tell you what now. In the form of a few questions. First, do you remember the last time that the situation was hopeless? Are you feeling me? What happened? Whatever happened, I can tell you this, you were not consumed. Are you following me? And if you can't even think about it right now because it's just so bad, let the word of God think for you. I'll tell you what happened based on the word of God. It says the mercies of God happened to you. That's what happened. Do you remember the last time that the trial was the most difficult trial in your life? What happened? Oh, I'll tell you what happened. The mercies of God happened. That's what happened. Have you ever been in a trial before? Most of us would say yes. Maybe you're not going through one right now. But have you ever been in one? What happened? Are you getting the point? I'll tell you what happened. The mercies of God happened. How do we know that? Look at all of us. We are still here. Still here. Because of the Lord's mercies. So again, allow the word of God to recall to our minds. Therefore, we should all have hope. When we can't think for ourselves, let the word of God do it. And when in doubt, cry and call out. That should be one of our mottos. He is compassionate, and he will renew our hope in him. These are the promises of God, and they cannot fail. But we can interrupt those promises. by acting out in our flesh instead of acting out in our faith. I hope we realize this. And let me try to demonstrate it going a long way around the straight path, just to make the point more pointed, if you will. So we are all told that in the beginning, God created everything that there is. And I would venture to say that most professing Christians believe this. We agree with this statement, right? I pray we do. In the beginning, God created, and everything else we agree with. But the more pointed question is, why do we believe this? I mean, I know it might sound crazy, but let's just ask ourselves, why do we believe this? Did any one of us see this happen? No? Yeah, the answer is no, by the way. Not a trick question. Do any of us know how this exactly took place? No. Now, we have a wonderful account captured in the scriptures, but none of us can detail this out. None of us. Nevertheless, we believe it to be true because we believe in the true and living God and have faith in his word. So we agree with that, I pray. We believe because we have faith. And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's Hebrews 11:1. Most know it by heart. This is why we believe. Faith in the substance, evidence, hoped for. We got it. That's why. So if that's true, then we should also believe what's captured in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Listen closely. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Yeah, that's what we just said. That's exactly why. Great. Now, take notice, though, that the word faith goes before the word understanding. Do we see this? In other words, we do not need to understand in order to have faith, but we need to have faith in order to understand. Are we tracking? I pray that we are. So how does this tie in? Let me tell you. So if we're trying to understand the situation that we're in or going through without having the faith that God would get us through it, we are interrupting his promise. That's an issue. Our position should be like, Lord, I don't know why all of this is going on. I have no clue, but I know by faith you do. So I'm just going to put my trust in you that you will order my steps and stops and leave this mess to you, Lord. And as he leads us through it, all those trials, in the process, our hope is being renewed. And our hope should always be reassured as we recall to our mind all of God's past mercies that ultimately point to that blessed hope in Christ Jesus. Verse 23 of our text, the word of God reads, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So what's new every morning? God's mercies and compassions. God's mercies and compassions. They are new every morning. Not just on Sunday mornings, because you came to church. Not just midweek, Hump Wednesday. Nah. Every morning. And we talk a little bit about his mercies, but here I want to focus on his compassions. Compassions new every morning that never fail. And when we look at the word compassion, it means the feeling of love. Not ours. Not our feeling of love. No, this is God's feeling of love towards us. Now you think about that. Not only is God love, but he feels his love towards each and every one of us every single morning in that new way for that new day. And for me, this is significant. And even hard to imagine that God in his love would have the compassion on all of us that's specific, the way we need it, each and every day without fail. That's what his word says. And we should ask ourselves the question, what does that compassion look like? That's a legitimate question. We should ask it. What does that love, that feeling of love towards us actually look like? How does Jesus express that? The best answer always comes from the scriptures. And that's where we're going to go. When it says he was moved with compassion. Do you recall? That feeling of love towards, expressing the fullness of God's love. So we can say that this is the compassion of Christ. And what it means for each of us. Because the way I see it, Jesus has compassion on us to feed us. He has compassion on us to cleanse us. He has compassion on us to wipe away our tears. He has compassion on us to shepherd and teach us. He has compassion on us to heal and to give us spiritual eyes in the light of his love. And he has compassion on us to forgive us. All of this, and then some, are new every morning. The question is, do we meet the Lord every morning to receive the compassion that he offers? There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, many of them daily promises. Do we meet the Lord in this way to see them? How are we going to obtain these new mercies and compassions every morning if when we start our day, we don't even meet with the Lord? And as soon as we wake up, we just take off without even acknowledging the first new mercy, which is that we even got up. We need to understand that God does not forsake us. We forsake God. And at the end of verse 23, the word of God says, "Great is your faithfulness." In fact, chapter 3 of Lamentations was the book that inspired that song to be written. You know what I'm talking about, right? Remember the song? It's a magnificent song. Everybody knows it, right? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. You know the song? Did you catch it though? Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And from what I see in the scriptures, there is something about meeting the Lord early that is so pleasing to God. Meeting him in that prayer closet, if you will. establishing a commune with the Lord once we get up, as soon as we get up. That should be our aim in life. Because I believe if we do this morning by morning, we will see those new mercies, that amazing feel of love that the Lord has towards us, and those compassions that never fail. Clarity will be renewed, just as well as our hope. We're going to begin to see Jesus in the forefront of our problem and not in the backdrop where he seems unreachable. In the morning, as soon as we get up, meet with the Lord. That's why we should have this desire. Because if we don't, the first encounter that we have for the day will have the staying power. So if we wake up and don't meet with the Lord, but meet with the problem is going to have the staying power. That's the one that's going to stick around. When I was a recruiter, we had this saying: first to contact is the first to contract. Because we were competing against all the other branches of service. So the first thing that I would do when I met somebody was this: have you ever spoken to any other recruiter? And when they said no, it was like, ding, I got you, what? You mine, son. Because it don't matter what happens after this. Because when I get done pitching my pitch, they can come all they want. All they want to do is join what I said join. The way I said join. That's all that's going to be on their mind. So if we wake up and meet with God first, think about that. He has the staying power. And now when the problems come, I already talked to the Lord today. You're late. So let's strive to meet with the Lord Jesus early. And then watch the greatness of his faithfulness continue to renew our hope. Verse 24 of our text, the word of God reads, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." I don't think that the strength of this verse can be properly felt without understanding what is meant by "the Lord is my portion." Because if we just portion, what's a portion to you? You know what I'm saying? Think about it. Ask him, can I get a portion of that? Right? No. The word portion here means lot or life. Possession. Do we see the strength now? The Lord is my life, says my soul. Now let's think about that. The Lord is all that I have, is another way to look at it. He is my life. He is my all. Down to the depths of my soul, I know this. There's no questions. And because I know this truth, I could place my hope in him. Complete hope. Jeremiah had this hope as he would witness the destruction of his nation. But his soul, he knew the Lord was his life, all the way down to the depths of his soul. And because of this truth, the Lord began to renew his hope and does the same for us. And this aligns what was captured in the book of Psalms. Chapter 73 and verse 26, the word of God reads, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." My lot, my life, my possession forever. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we feel this way about God? Is he our lot, our life, our portion forever? Down to the depths of our souls, do we feel that? Because if we do, then let's keep hoping in Christ alone. Our hope will be renewed in Jesus because of this sureness that we have. Jesus is our life. And because that life is in us, our hope should be renewed. Is Jesus our life? That's the question. Or is the Lord our lifeline when we get in trouble? Is he just considered a lifeline when we get in a situation that we feel we can't handle, since we handled everything else without him up until this point? Are you following me? Life or lifeline? If he's our life, the lifeline is there. But if he's the lifeline, wait a minute. That's it? That's how we will treat our Savior? I've got everything else, but I need to take care of this. If that's the case, then having a renewed hope in him will not be achieved. You know why? Because we already have a problem placing our hope in him for everything. You see what I mean? There is no renewed hope in someone that we have little to no hope in. Are you following me? Or if that hope is misplaced because that hope is based on our desires, that only makes you angry. I desire you to do this. That's my hope. Renewed hope is for those who are losing hope, not for those who hope in vain. That's not how it works. There is a difference, and God knows it. And guess what? If we want to be honest, we know it too. Verse 25 of our text. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Now, we talked about seeking in first service, so we won't go deep into that aspect, but we'll spend a moment on this first part of this verse. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. So here's the question that we need to ask ourselves. It's very simple. It should be anyway. Who wants God's goodness? I believe all of us do. Because here is a most excellent way to receive it. And that's by waiting on him. And these are these times when we have no clarity. There's actually nothing that we can reasonably do. The Lord has put us in a place where it's so uncertain. So uncertain. And we know that what we should do is just stand by, trust, and wait on him. And yes, waiting on the Lord during these times is perhaps one of the most difficult things to do. But if we do so, much good comes from it. And since I'm a question guy, what good? Let the scripture speak. God tells us, and we'll look at a few of them. For one, those of us who choose to wait on the Lord will receive help and protection from the Lord. Captured here in the book of Psalms, chapter 33, verses 20 through 22, the word of God reads, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you." All we have to do is be willing to wait. What about this? For those of us who choose to wait on the Lord, we shall inherit the earth. And that inheritance will be when the kingdoms come, fulfilled in the kingdom age, and I can't wait. That's a real good thing, by the way. Also captured here in the book of Psalms, chapter 37 and verse 9, the word of God reads, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And again, for you kingdom now peoples anywhere in the world, that kingdom is brought in by the King of Kings. Our duty is to occupy until he comes and be faithful in those talents and pounds that he has given each and every one of us. That's what we should be doing. Also waiting and longing for his appearing. Jesus would say, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I would say that everyone who's meek, has a meek heart, can wait on the Lord. Those of us who choose to wait on the Lord, no matter what we are going through in life, will be rewarded by the Lord. Captured in the book of James in chapter 1 and verse 12, the word of God reads, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Again, I recognize that this is going to be difficult because we have to wait on the Lord as we endure. It's tough, but it means to stand. And that standing means to stand on the word of God. We're not to wait in doubt. No, wait in faith. We wait by standing firm, of course, on his word, and then acting upon that hope based on his word. So when the tempter of doubt comes, as we wait, we endure by trusting in the promises of the Lord, bringing them back to our minds, all those mercies and compassions and how they are new every morning. He will see us through. The faith, we need to have faith in that. For that cause, and if done in faith, our hope in Jesus will always be renewed, because we know that he will indeed deliver. When hasn't he? We also know that the Lord is good to those who wait on him, because he will be the avenger of them. Captured in the book of Proverbs in chapter 20, verse 22, the word of God reads, "Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you." This is another tough one. It really is. At least for me, I'll speak for myself. This is very challenging, to say the least. I mean, who wants to stand around when you see evil befall on somebody because of what somebody else did? And you know it. And you're right there like, oh, what happened? You just want to gear up. You start making the plans in your head. Oh, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to recompense evil. Now, there are times where we jump on evil. We have a protective, instinctive nature. And when that is activated, and we know this, God will reveal it to us. We need to act upon that. We don't stand around silently getting beat. Some people use the scriptures so, you know, slap me in the other cheek. You can come try that if you want to. You don't know the scriptures. You don't understand what that was in for. Because if we think we're supposed to get slapped around and allow our families to be pillaged, we're wrong. That is lunacy. And many Christians fall for it. I saw a guy on YouTube up there getting slapped up, and the dude took his coat and all that. and walked off. And he's just sitting there. Like, what? Anyway, yeah, don't try that slapping thing is what I'm saying. It's not going to work out well for you. Because I'm too old to fight and too good of an aim to run. I'll leave that with y'all, you know what I mean? But we need to wait in these situations where we know something's happened. Someone's been done wrong. We cannot recompense evil. We just have to fight against it. And do not do it, because the Lord will save us and he will avenge all wrongdoing. He's going to take care of this. And in many cases, will allow us to witness his heavy hand upon that circumstance or those individuals or that person. I will tell you, over the years, my wife and I have witnessed some of the most. God has done some things that I just sit back and be like, oh my goodness. Because of someone doing something so devastating to someone. And God coming in and acting upon it in a way that only he could. So I'm renewed hope in that. Seen it from my very eyes. And I would encourage you to just wait on the Lord. And woe to those evildoers. Be warned this day that your sin shall find you out. And my God is going to deal with you. That's facts. That's his word. Now, here's one more verse about the goodness that comes upon those who choose to wait on the Lord. And this verse is perhaps one of the most well-known of them all regarding this promise of God. And it's captured in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 31. The word of God reads, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." There you have it. Sums it up. And I hope that we can see the significance of waiting on the Lord. And again, these are not all of them. They're just a few. A few that offer this goodness. By waiting on the Lord, knowing that he is faithful and that he is true. And again, I say waiting on the Lord in a way that you understand that how we posture ourselves to wait, standing on his word, because there's a wrong way to wait. There is. Faithless waiting is in vain. Do you hear me? Faithless waiting is in vain. We have to check that at the door. All of our faith wobbles. When you start feeling it wobble, check it. Get to the Lord. Get to the Word. And have that renewed as well. Waiting for our desires to be achieved by the Lord. Oh, yeah. That's waiting in vain. And that type of waiting will never renew any hope. We must have that trusting waiting, knowing that he will accomplish what he has begun. And as we wait, the final verse of our text gives us some important details that we should take to heart as well. Verse 26, as the word of God reads, "It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Do we see this? It is also good to hope, in that renewed hope, I might say, and be quiet while we wait. This is not having a complaining heart as we wait. Because that's bad waiting too. This is like having our hands over our complaining mouths, both of them. Why? Because it exposes our heart so it can be open. Keep them up here and let the Lord come in and work that work which only He can do. And this is not about not laying our burdens on one another. We are still to do that. This is about not allowing those burdens to have us constantly complaining and questioning God. That's a problem if we're doing that. For a couple of reasons. For one, it removes that hope that we are promised and supposed to have. Constant complaining. And the enemy knows it. If that he can get our hope removed, nothing else is going to happen. Hope deferred? Bad thing. Our sure hope must remain in the forefront of our waiting. It has to. As well as through the entire period of our waiting. So we have to constantly check it. The other problem with not waiting quietly is that we don't give the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Too much noise. Sometimes we need to separate ourselves from everything and everyone. Just get along with the Lord. One-on-one. Going back to that prayer closet. And see what will be revealed in that time alone with the Lord. Those times are some of the most amazing times if we do them. Again, only the Lord Himself can renew our hope. And the more that we spend with Him, the more renewed our hope will become. It's been said that hope is the mother of patience. Are you feeling me? I bear witness with that. In other words, hope enables us to wait. Now, please don't think that this waiting silently on the Lord means that we do not communicate with the Lord. We talked about the prayer closet, get in prayer, get into the Word. Yes, we should be doing that. Our waiting on Him proves our hope in Him and our dependence on Him. While prayerfully, we silently listen to Him, knowing for a fact that we will indeed hear from Him, because He will hear us. This truth is captured in the book of Micah, in chapter 7, in verse 7, as the Word of God reads. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Not my God might hear me. My God will hear me. Look to the Lord. Wait for the Lord. And know that He will hear. Knowing this, knowing these truths, how is it possible for any of us not to have our hope renewed in the Lord? These are His promises. This is His word. And the scriptures cannot be broken. He is our sure hope, not might hope. And my prayer is that Jesus will continue to renew our hope in Him every single day while we meet Him to receive those daily mercies and compassions that He can only provide. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I can say on the authority of God's word, you have no hope. You have no hope. Why? Because Jesus is the only way. Jesus is our only hope for all mankind, no matter where you are. Again, Jeremiah witnessed the destruction of his nation, but still would have this renewed hope in what God was doing. It's not going to be the same for those who don't have Jesus, because all you can hope in is what this government is going to do. And if your hope is in this government or any other government, you are doomed. God bless you, Linda. If your hope is in money, you are doomed. If your hope is in your health, you're going to die. And if your hope is in yourself, oh man, misery is just around the corner for you. If you have not already met her yet, or him or Caesar, it's all miserable, absent God. Every day, it becomes more uncertain in this world. But what is certain is the hope found in Jesus. And if you don't have that hope, consider your life once again hopeless. A place that we have all been at some point. And absent Jesus, death and hell await. Those are the facts of the matter. And like what's said in the Inferno of Dante, listen to this. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. You know where that place is at? Do not allow that to be you, because tomorrow is not promised. Our lives could be taken from us today, any given moment. And I encourage you to choose Jesus and hope in him for salvation of your soul. And you can have that hope today by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he's coming back to rule and reign on this earth. And it is ABC simple to be saved by first acknowledging that you are a sinner and in need of a Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one gets into the kingdom except through Jesus. And as shown in chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That represents the A. And the B stands for believe, while the C stands for confess with your mouth. Both are captured in the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The word of God reads that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is just a most simple way to be saved. Free gift of eternal life that God offers by the blood of his son. And God wants us all reconciled to him because he loves us. His word specifically says, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Listen, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I truly pray that our hope continues to be renewed in Christ, and that those who are around us would see it and desire to attain that hope. Why don't we stand so we can pray? Father in heaven, words cannot express how much we thank you for your word. Words cannot express how much we thank you for your love. We ask that you would just continue to be merciful towards us and compassionate towards us. And that feeling love that we would all feel each and every day as we meet with you. And that you would give us a heart to desire to seek you out daily and be better witnesses for the furtherance of your kingdom to come. And that every time, Lord, that we would meet with you, you would renew our hope in you in that unique way that would just lift us up so we could continue to glorify you and give you all the honor due. So thank you once again. Keep us for you, Lord, and come quickly in the mighty name of Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen.